Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, February 26th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 40, the first paragraph that begins with, "We heard no more of Fred," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Joanne L., who'll be reading the 12 steps, Terry S., will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Dana P., Julie E. B., and Jordan L. The share ID for Thursday, February 25th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,469. That's 16469. And this morning's Friday, February 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 16,481. That's 16481. Our newcomer greeter today is Suzanne W., and Betsy H. will be making the announcement. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Team Friday. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. It's been a pleasure to be with everybody. And again, thank you, Kathleen. And I pass.
And thank you, Joanne L. Terry S., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Oregon, recovering food addict. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 40, the first paragraph that begins with, "We heard no more of Fred." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Dana P. If you could get us started on that paragraph, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Dana P., compulsive overeater, anorexic bulimic in California. Thank you so much for your service this month in February. What an honor. So here we are with Fred. However, we heard no more of Fred for a while. One day we were told that he was back in the hospital. This time he was quite shaky. He soon indicated he was anxious to see us. The story he told is most instructive. For here was a chap, absolutely convinced he had to stop drinking, who had no excuse for drinking, who exhibited splendid judgment and determination in all his other concerns, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. You know, I've said this before, and I love this chapter on more about insanity. That's what I really can relate. And when I first read this, before I even felt that I related to any of these stories, I couldn't really relate to Fred at all. Certainly, I loved running in traffic. Anything dangerous was fun, so that related to me. But, you know, here's Fred. He's this kind of normal guy, right? And the chapter or the paragraph before where they talk about him being a well-known partner and he has this great family and all of that, you know, tells me that he's a smart guy and he's kind of got it together, which in many ways was true for me as I developed my career and my life. But I always had this underlying problem that I thought, you know, this underlying problem with this thing that I did with food and or food behaviors that nobody really knew a whole lot about. And I thought I was going to find the solution by getting more and more information, which is kind of here what Fred did. You know, these people that came along that said, hey, you know, this is what this is all about. And I love the word where they say the story he told is most instructive. So, you know, he's telling them that you know, I know the problem, and that's the thing. It's like, I know the problem, and I know I have this problem. So we're talking about step one here. And I knew that I had a problem for a very long time, 40 years, really. And even when it first started, I knew that I had this problem. And splendid judgment and determination in all his other concerns. Well, yeah, for the most part, that was me. But this disease put me on my back over and over and over again, or flat on my face in my case, and many, many, many times. And what this tells me is that there is no solution in the mind with this disease. The only solution is to go within, and find that solution inside of myself in terms of my higher power. Up until I came into this program, I thought my higher power was something out there, something untangible that I could not touch. And as a process of going through these steps, so, you know, here we are starting with Shaky Fred, and recognizing, getting together with these people who had the solution, who spoke of their higher power, who were connected, finding that power outside of themselves, which really actually for me lives in me now as a process of working through that these steps. I am recovered, and I'm just so honored and blessed to be in this book and doing service today. And unfortunately, I know how the story kind of goes here in the next couple chapters. I have some very explicit remarks on the next page about where Fred goes back again. So we'll continue, and I look forward to hearing the rest of the shares. Thank you so much for having me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Dana P. Okay, we're on page 40, the first paragraph. We heard Nomura Fred, and although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share who hasn't shared in the last 3 days?
Christina J.
Elena C.
Elena C.
Diane B.
Diane B.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB. I can take one more. Okay, we'll stop there then. I have Christina J., Elena C., Diane B., Robin P., and Sherry KB. So go ahead, please, Christina J.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington. Recovered for today. Yeah, we heard no more of Fred for a while. We heard no more of Christina J. for a while. Where was she? She quit calling her sponsor. She was in isolation and relapse, yet again another relapse. Was I flat on my back? Well, sort of. I had my head on my desk in a total food fog at work, or I was slugging through the day, barely able to walk, headaches forcing me to drink the coffee machine-laden. Can't even talk. I've been running all morning getting ready for an appointment, but sugar and chemical-laden coffee to make it through the day. I was not emotionally present for my husband, myself, or my suffering family. I was a numbo. I was being buried alive inside from all the crap. I would drive home from work knowing I had to force myself to do a long sauna or exercise to try to move some of the junk out of my system by sweating. At bedtime, I would pass out, wake up, 2 a.m., frozen in horrible fear from the sugar in my brain. I had weird aching and burning in my toes and horrible IBS pain doubling me over. Just a miserable damn life. It went on and on, and it didn't stop me for very long because the allergy in my brain and body was in full swing, and I had to pick up. You know, I never gave the program a chance to work in me because I was not doing all the steps thoroughly. So of course, my emotions would always take me back to that one promising bite of relief that led to the next relapse. And like Fred, I had a good life, but it was not necessarily the life I wanted or had dreamed of. But my life is a true blessing. I have a good paying job. I have a husband, a boss that appreciates me. I have a husband that loves and adores me. People all over the world envision friends. We have musical fans that love us. What was wrong with the picture? My selfishness, my self-centeredness. I wasn't trusting God. And I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. And that always brought me back to the food. And the allergy would kick in. The irritable, restless, and discontent of my selfishness, thinking that God was supposed to be giving me what I wanted, because, you know, I knew best. I just knew that God wanted me to have the life I dreamed of. I wasn't trusting that he maybe had a better life for me, and maybe he does have a better tomorrow for me. I don't know. But as I look back, I'm not baffled, because I see my part in my relapses. Today I have a part in my recovery to be in action. I have to take action, the action of the steps, the action of the pause, to ask God how he would have me do and be today, not tomorrow, today. What a relief. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. And this is a practice, because I still have a lot of anxiousness, as you can probably hear in my voice. Every day I have anxiousness, but God's helping me surrender that. Today I'm neutral about the food. God is leading me to work diligently on all the old, buried, deep emotions that are arising now that I'm 7.5 months abstinent. These things are coming up. He's helping me unbury myself. It's hard. It's painful. But I want to be free. I want to be free on deep levels, because I don't want to ever be driven back to the food by unknown emotions. I don't want to live in that zombie land. And today, one day at a time, there's hope. I never have to be back. Get on the train. There's hope for you, too. Love you all. Bye.
Thank you, Christina J. in Washington. Elena C., you're up, followed by Diane B.
Good morning, everyone. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
My name is Elena C. from Greer, South Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater. You know, and I look at the story of Fred. I like the story of Fred. I like the story of a lot of other people who are mentioned in this book. You know, Fred was visited by members of AA, and yet, you know, he wasn't convinced that that was what he needed, because he did not tell himself that he was an alcoholic, and stayed with self-knowledge would fix it. And he went about his business, and never mind, he ended up in the hospital again. And sounds did like this time he kind of reached a certain bottom. He was desperate, and he was convinced he had to stop drinking. And he remembered members of AA talking to him. Well, when I came in here, you know, unlike Fred, I had no idea. Well, like Fred, I had no idea that I have to stop eating sugar. I just thought I had to stop eating as much, and I didn't know how to. So I thought that, you know, OA people are going to show me that, how to not eat as much, but still eat my triggering food. And, you know, I remember that I was put off by the word compulsive overeater. I'm like, oh, my Lord, don't tell me what else is wrong with me. And, you know, I was not at my bottom. So I don't identify to those who say that, you know, they had to reach a bottom to come to these doors. I only had about 20 pounds to lose. And, but I was in pain, but I think I could have made it. So I really thought, in a way, I'm going to find another diet plan. And I did not come to stay. I just came to lose my weight. And, you know, what happened was I was just so in awe about what other people had to say in the doors, like in the doors of those meetings, during the doors of those meetings, that they stayed. And not that they lost weight, but they found their higher power. And I wanted that so much for myself, you know. And without, it's just so cool that I come here every day and I hear the same thing. You stay in the steps, stay in with your higher power, stay. It's not the food, it's your spiritual connection, your personal relationship with the God of your understanding that is the most important here. And I cannot forget that. If I get that, I forget that I'm back into the food rapidly. So thank you for letting me share. And I'm looking forward to hear what everybody else has to say. Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena C. in South Carolina. And Diane B. in California, good morning. You're up, followed by Robin P.
Good morning. This is Diane B. And so grateful to be here and grateful for Team Friday and all they do service-wise for vision. This paragraph just reminds me of the cycle of addiction and how easy it is to get back in that cycle if we're not working the steps. And I like the word that they used here. He was quite shaky and he was anxious. And those are all the symptoms and the feelings that I feel when I'm headed back to the food. And when I look at in this paragraph where it says that he exhibited splendid judgment and determination, and I had those things, but those things kind of slip away too when I'm in the food. And over the about 45 years that I have been in and out of OA and all sects of OA, when I really could see recovery ahead, the light at the end of the tunnel, it was always through the Big Book. And I'm just so grateful for the Big Book. And the change that has to occur within me to live these steps, because these steps are true. They're true steps. And I want to be where God wants me to be, and that is in His truth. And so as I recover, as I work the steps and try and clean up the past, my judgment will get better, my determination will get better, and I'll be living the way that God would have me live. And that's all I have for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane B. in California. Robin P., you're up, followed by Sherry K.B. Good morning, Robin.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. Thanks for your service. This is Robin P., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, currently at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, for the next few days. I just think of how surprised when I think someone's unmuted. We just check your mute status. I just think of that shock of like, how did this happen again? I knew better. Like, how did I end up flat on my back again or in the food again? And it was always such a surprise to me. And looking back on it, it was that I was so desperate for the numb, you know, when any feeling came up, they literally came up. And that mental obsession combined with a physical allergy until I hit bottom by God's grace and mercy, you know. And I just, I'm so grateful for that because my husband's having major surgery today, right now, and for the next couple hours, and the food's not going to do anything because, you know, I worshiped food. I made food my God because I just said, this is what I go to when I'm having a feeling, when I'm having fear, selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, resentment, or fear. And now I know to bring it to God, and that God is, and my fellows are the only thing that can help me through this. And the food would just make a second problem on top of the first. And that God is my solution. And I get to gratefully turn my will and my life over to His care. And it's not the abuse, it's not the trickery, it's the care of God. And just continue to pray only for knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. And I get to be of service today. And hospitals are my least favorite place on the planet. I where I'm gonna faint. And I just get to be of service and pray and be a prayer warrior for my husband too. And I'm so grateful for my abstinence today because the food is not the center of my world. And that is grace and mercy. And no matter what. And I know the food's not going to fix any of this.
and it wouldn't numb me. It would just create a second problem. And I'm just so grateful for this program, for all of you, and for God. And God bless everybody with a very abstinent, blessed day and weekend. And thanks so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Robin P., and prayers for your husband today. Okay, so before I take you, Sherry KB, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 40, the first paragraph. We heard no more from Fred, and I'll be taking some more names after Sherry. So go ahead, please, Sherry KB.
Good morning, Kathleen O. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and thanks so much for your service, Kathleen O. and Team Friday, and welcome newcomers and anyone else on the line. I love reading more into insanity, more into relapse, whatever you want to say here. You know, I try to, the most important thing that I can do is look to identify in rather than to identify out. And so, you heard no more from Sherry. I went in and out of OA trying other ways to deal with this my disease. And when I mean in and out, I could still be in the rooms and you still couldn't hear from me even though I was in the rooms because there was this, you know, underlying thing going on called ego and defiance that I thought I could do this thing, you know, by myself, however I wanted to do it. And, you know, I didn't have to be face down in the food to be face down in my disease because it was, you know, the more I do the step work, the more I realize how the disease, that mental obsession, all of that just plays, has so much control if I'm not doing the step work, if I'm not, you know, leaning on my higher power on a daily basis because my ego will get in there and have, yeah, because I had good judgment, have good judgment in other areas, and I'm a determined person. My husband calls me Tenacious C and how relentless I am about stuff. And, you know, I need just as much to be as relentless about this disease and on guard because without my higher power, I can't do this thing. And I just, my disease is so cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I used to think I could lick this disease. And, you know, it's called, you know, leading in a ring, you know, in a boxer ring with my nose because I, you know, my intellect will get in the way. I think I know what I'm doing. I've got this thing. And when I hear anyone say, hey, I get it, I got this thing, I know I'm back in ego. I know I'm back in defiance. And self-will is just another word for ego for me. And it means the voice of my disease because it is so cunning, baffling, and powerful because I'll start seeing my life go great in other areas. So it's like, hey, I'm doing well. I can do this thing. And, you know, I have to stay in with God, align my will with God every day, do the step work, keep in check on this ego that I have because I'm learning more and more about, I had no idea how bad my ego was. I really didn't. And thank God for God, and I pass. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you, Sherry KB in California. Okay, we're on page 40, the first paragraph. We heard no more of Fred. And if you have not shared in the past 3 days, I will take your name. We'd love to hear your share this morning. So who would like to share?
This is Vicki in Ohio. Can I share?
Yes, hold on just a moment, Vicki. I'm going to take a lineup of names. Okay, what's the first initial of your last name, Vicki?
C, as in chair.
Okay, great. Okay, and anyone else?
Joanne L.
This list? Was it Joanne L.?
Yeah.
Hi, Joanne. Sorry. Hi. Okay.
Thanks.
This is Robin
Kelly H.
Okay, who came in before Kelly H?
Robin A.
Robin A. Okay.
Patty D.
Patty D. Okay, I'll stop here. Who I heard was Vicki C, Joanne L., Robin A., Kelly H., and Patty D. So go ahead, please, Vicki C.
This is Vicki C. I'm new to the to this part of the OA program, A Vision for You. But I was listening. I know the big book somewhat for another program, but I was listening and to someone's comment, and I just wanted to say real quick that, you know, this to me, this program is a matter of life and death, because I just got out of the hospital with, not appendicitis, but that, I can't think of the word, but I just got out of the hospital, and it had to do with my eating, because I was eating spicy foods and I was eating fatty foods and stuff. And the doctor told me that if I want to come back to the hospital, keep eating the way I'm eating and I'll just die. And that really had an impact on me this time. And I've always known that I've had eating issues and my health getting poorer and poorer. But to actually be hospitalized and told that I'm going to die by a doctor, you know. And then another friend of mine said that she didn't know if they were going to get me to the hospital stay, if I was going to die then or if I was going to make it out, you know. And for me, that's really scary, because I went through another disease and almost died. And, you know, I can't play. I can't play with this disease. If I play with this disease, I'm going to die. And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to die today. I fought too hard to get here. And it just really scares me. So I just really appreciate you guys, you know, letting me get on the meeting and stuff, because it means so much to me. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
And thank you, Vicki C. in Ohio. And do keep coming back. And if you haven't put your name out there at the end of the meeting after recording stops, if you put your phone number out there and name, you'll get a lot of calls. Okay, Joanne L., you are up, followed by Robin A.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island. I'm compulsive overeater. So happy to have done service this month. And this step means so much to me, this step two. You know, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could return us to sanity. And so there's three people that we've been talking about through this whole chapter. There's Jim, there's Jay, there's Fred. Jim was the businessman, Jay is the jaywalker, and there was Fred. They tried all different kinds of methods. One quit drinking, one got locked up, one decided to try it on his own. But this morning it was said on the 7 o'clock meeting from Craig, and this is the point of this whole chapter. They all failed to enlarge their spiritual life. And I discovered the truth about myself when I went through these steps and I got to this step. That's the main important focus, that if we don't, you know, enlarge our spiritual lives, then you can go to 1,000 meetings, you can have 500 sponsors, but it's enlarging our spiritual lives, finding a power greater than ourselves. And in other words, we have to let God in, and we have to get out of our way. We have to find a higher power who's going to understand and who's going to fix it. And I was always told, you know, to get out of my own way. Let God in. Let him fix it. And I came to this program. I was beaten. I was humiliated. I was distraught. I was angry. I blamed others. And you know what? I was self-will run riot. But until I got a power greater than myself and I could start to understand what this step was all about. For the longest time, I didn't even like this step because I didn't want to admit that I really had to turn my life and my will over to God. And so now I understand what needs to be done. I have to smash the idea that I can eat like others. That's number one. I cannot eat like other people. I am not, I just can't. I can't eat like my sisters, my brothers, my mother, my father, nobody. I have to have
I have to know what I can have and what I can't have. And like I said, I have to start getting out of my own way. And the other thing is this, too. You see, if you get out there and you go back to the food, it gets you back. And that happens to me. If I start eating, I get away from the pack. I don't want to get away from you all. I want to be part of the pack. And if you take a break, you will rest on your laurels. And you don't want to rest on your laurels because I'll tell you what, it's a small, bendable pine tree, and you'll fall. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
And thank you, Joanne L. from Rhode Island. Robin A., you're up, followed by Kelly H. Go ahead, Robin.
Hi, good morning. This is Robin A. from California. This is my first time sharing with a vision, and I'm so grateful to this group. I have 28 days of abstinence, and I woke up in such anxiety and fear. And just in this meeting, I've hit my knees. I've asked God to please direct my thinking. Please help me today. And so much is coming up for me. And I am so used to relying on the food for everything, especially when I'm out of town, especially in this place that I'm at. I'm on a retreat, and I brought 3 bags of food of my own, so that I could take care of myself. And I get to meet with my sponsor today and read the big book and read this. We just finished this chapter, so I just finished step 1, and now I am ready to be restored to sanity. I'm ready to have this power run my life because I can't do it. My best thinking is back in the food over and over again and making me think that this time it'll be different, that it's okay, you know, you're not bedbound because you've eaten so much. You're not blah, blah, blah. And the truth is that I've suffered enough. This has kept me from my fellows. This has kept me from my higher power. It's kept me from the sunlight of the spirit. It has been my higher power for my entire life, and I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of pretending that it's not that big of a deal and everybody else can do it. Why can't I just diet? And that's why I have to get on these meetings every single morning to remind me why is it that I want to stay abstinent today? And that it just softens my heart. And I also get afraid because of how I wake up, that, you know, I wake up with the idea that I don't have this thing, you know. And so it is being restored to sanity just by coming to a meeting and hearing, nope, you are for sure a real compulsive eater. So I just really needed to connect. I was afraid to share, but I just wanted to bring home the fact that I have this before I go eat breakfast and to hit my knees and just bring higher power into my life today because I need a power greater than myself. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Robin A. in California. And Kelly H., you're up, followed by Patty D. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. I like this story a lot. I am new to recovering myself, having finished my first go-around through the 12 steps. I've been abstinent since December 21st. And like Fred, I just have had several epiphanies through my long, long history of being a compulsive overeater. Clarity, moments of clarity, fascinations with other people's stories. I probably still purchase magazines that publish, you know, people's incredible weight loss stories of 140 pounds, etc. Those stories fascinate me, and they feed my self-knowledge, and they even entice me to want to make changes in my own life. But the thing that absolutely keeps me abstinent is the incredible shakiness of my own experience. And I like that while we didn't hear from Fred for a while, it didn't mean that his life was just this static, silence. There was a lot of stuff happening in that silence. And I like is that in the middle of the paragraph, the story he told is most instructive, in that he was absolutely convinced. He had no excuse, and he just had splendid judgment and determination in all his other concerns. I mean, that's the stuff right there that led to the end of the silence of Fred. I think what I heard a few weeks ago from a special edition, I believe, a woman was sharing how we need to tell the story. We need to practice and retell our own stories because they are most instructive. And I'm at a place where I've been abstinent, I think, about 66 days. And I really am feeling the call to, like, hone the story and be strangely in touch, more than those magazine pictures of the covers of magazines and grocery stores. I need to be deeply in touch with my own story, making sure that the didactic points of it, the teaching points from it, are out loud and in my utmost mind. I must be instructive, and when I tell people about my journey, I want to be instructive. I want to be sure that I am saying that I was absolutely convinced I had to stop overeating compulsively. I want to make sure that I have no excuse to go back to that old way of life. And civilizations from old had a practice of building stones and stacking stones on those places where they had key moments. But for me, I need to remember the story. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kelly H. And just a reminder, we're on page 40, the first paragraph, and after Patty D, we have time for probably a couple more shares, so be ready to jump in. So go ahead, please, Patty D. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Patty D. from Matthews, North Carolina. Thank you to everyone who makes this meeting possible. I was really touched by the last person who shared, getting a little emotional because my story is one of a lot of shame right now. And I haven't listened to the meeting for quite a long time. And I decided this morning to put it on, and the paragraph, we didn't hear from Fred for a while. Well, you haven't heard from Patty for a while because I've been isolating because I'm in deep relapse. And this morning I measured my breakfast and said, okay, you have to listen to God and you have to listen to the truth and you need to stop this. And so today I'm calling my sponsor and trying to get back on track. And, you know, God works his timing in mysterious ways. And this paragraph is so me. Last summer I thought I had this. Another person shared when she hears someone say, I've got this. Yeah, that's trouble. And that was me. I had it. I understood it. Lost all my weight. Looked good. Got it. So it would be okay if I just had this little food or that little food, because it had been a year since I'd had them. And I just kept going, gained all my weight back in 4 months, plus 5 pounds. And here we are. And I can no longer deal with, as Robin shared, food being the center of my life. And so we're starting again. And I hope my story is like someone else's out there and encourages them. So thank you very much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty D. in North Carolina. Okay, I can take a couple more shares on this paragraph 40, or the first paragraph on page 40. Who else would like to share on this?
Liz A.
Noel E.
Okay, I got Liz A. and was it Noel E.?
Noel E.
Okay, great. Okay, I think that's about as much time as we have. So go ahead, please, Liz A.
This is Liz A., recovering food addict, bulimic, anorexic from Michigan. I actually came into the program having to be bludgeoned, absolutely bludgeoned. And even when I was flat on my back with this addiction, having eaten so much, my hands would swell. And literally one time flat on my back from having binged on so much chocolate that the caffeine, I was in tachycardia. My heart rate, I actually literally thought that I would die. And I really honestly didn't care. And the only way I got the willingness to live was from God and the meetings. Like, I just kept coming back and coming back. And yet there was a part of me that was really angry that I have this food addiction disease. And I heard a speaker years ago say that we're not one bite away from a binge, we're 12 steps. And first I go spiritually, then I go emotionally, and then I go physically. Like, I let go of those three stools. And I've had a really rough time emotionally and have not used food. And I am uncomfortable enough that I need to do more work. I can't stand still. This disease is progressive. The recovery is progressive. And for today, I want the recovery. Thank you.
And thank you, Liz A. in Michigan. Noelle E., go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Noelle E. from Louisiana. Thank you, everybody, for your service on this line. And Patty D., I'm looking at you. You're sharing a lot. They haven't heard from me in a while either. And I was thinking about that part the whole time that it was being read, and I was like, well, I'm not going to talk, but it spoke right to me because I'm in relapse, and it is progressive. Like, I know that to be true, and the information is there on the page, and that's why I'm here, even if what I came to program with what sounds like a high bottom compared to the way people talk. The bottoms are only going to get worse. They're going to be real low to where it's, you know, life or death, like Vicki mentioned. So I just am so grateful for everybody on this line and that I have.
Thank you, Noelle E. in Louisiana. And I have time for another share. Would someone else like to jump in?
Sandy S. from Asheville.
Go ahead, Marty Sandy. Thank you.
Hi, this is Sandy S. from Asheville, North Carolina. This is absolutely not my story, and I'm not an isolator. I am the opposite. I am like the desperate person that will grab anyone while I'm drowning. And, you know, I'm hesitant to say this. I said it on the line before. March 3rd will be 45 years of entire abstinence. And it's not because I'm more disciplined or I worked harder or any of that. It's for one reason and one reason only. I was a very low bottom compulsive overeater. But before that, it was preceded by a very low-bottom emotional problems. And food was the only thing, and throwing up, that alleviated it. And I had a spiritual experience. And once I had that experience on March 3rd, 1976, I have no idea why I had it. But the experience basically was that the experience of loving another person. I was just hugging this guy that I knew that I was attracted to, hugging, and I felt this light go from his heart to my heart. And it was an experience of love. I could feel it now. And someone from OA had said to me, when I said to her, why don't I feel anything for anyone? She said, because you can't feel love and be compulsively eating. And in that moment when I experienced love, something like transformed in me. And I knew it was so much better than the food, and I wanted the love. And I was done with compulsive overeating, not because I hit such a bad bottom, which I did, but because I experienced love, and it was better than food. And I do struggle emotionally, but I am better now than I've ever been. And I want to say to people who are ashamed, keep speaking up. Because I feel tremendous shame about my emotional intensity, these mood swings that I've really begged God to just show me the next right thing. So hang in there, anyone who's having trouble, and be truthful about it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy S. from North Carolina. And thank you, everyone, for your really, truly beautiful shares this morning. It was just an amazing meeting. And I want to do a special thanks for Team Friday this month of February, Joanne L., Terry S., Dana P., Julie E.B., and Jordan L. Thank you all so much. And Julie E.B., if you could read a vision for you, please.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.